Welcome to the Lost Geek Podcast, episode 40, Being Janus. This is Arlen, your host. Come and get lost in my geeky fiber adventures with a dash of Indonesian flavor. Today is Saturday, March 21st, 2015, and I'm podcasting from Bandung, Indonesia. This is the first episode I'm recording after my long hiatus after delivering my second son. And I hope you'd apologize for any sound quality issues or other issues that you might hear or find in this episode, because this is my first one getting my feet back wet in the podcasting world. And I don't think I will have enough time to edit this episode as extensively as I used to do for my other episodes. So do excuse me on that front. And I hope you would still enjoy the show. I would like to thank everyone who are still active on the board and patiently waiting for my return to the podcasting world, and especially to the group moderators, Stacy78 and Steph Crookednitz, for keeping the group up during my absence. And I would like to thank everybody who sent well-thought packages for the birth of my second son, Andrew. It was very thoughtful, and I thank you. I would address this in the Tadaima section. So since we have a packed show today, I have a lot of projects, I have a lot of things to talk to you about and update to you about. Today's segments will include Off the Needles, On the Needles, a new segment I'm calling Knit Culture, where I will talk about all things, miscellaneous things in the knitting world, maybe things that I find interesting. This was previously titled Into the Blue, but since I think Knit Culture would be more appropriate. And then there would be Get Your Geek On, Essential Oils, and Tadaima. So without further ado, let's get lost. Off the Needles. Well, I have quite a bit of time to finish a lot of projects since I last recorded, but a few of the I only had four finished objects, four FOs. And the first one is the Salah Cowl by Bristol Ivy. It's a free pattern on Knitty. And I knit this for the Lupi Academy semester one at first. But since the Lupi Academy requires three projects and I only managed to knit two out of three, so I don't think I fulfill the requirements. But this is a cowl that was very interesting to knit. It features two different size needles, one on the right hand and one on the left hand, and I make full use of the interchangeable needles that I have. I made this purposefully a bit tighter than the pattern calls for because I want to have a cowl that is snug on the neck, but it is a bit too tight. I might frog it in the future, but for now I'm letting it lie there to realize what mistake it has done. You can always push the mistakes and whatever dissatisfaction you have onto your knitting projects, and you can't do that to other people. The second project I have is the Rose Window Beret by Anko Lukito. It's a pattern that I had for a long time. It's from a past issue of Interweave Knits. I think it's a 2012 or something. I will put up a link to the pattern on the show notes, so if you're interested, check it out. I have always been tickled by the designer's name, the designer's last name to be particular, Lukito, because it's my uncle's family name, my uncle by marriage. I thought that she must have had an Indonesian background somehow, but I haven't found out until now, because Lukito is not a common name, and even in Indonesia, it's not a very common name. And this project, I also frogged. I just frogged it a few days ago, last week, actually, after reading a listener's comment, Katie Kitty J, on the Ravelry forum about re-knitting. So she has this cardigan project for her boyfriend, and she's been re-knitting the front and the sleeves. The sleeves, I think she re-knit twice, and the front she re-knit once. So I figured to myself that if she can frog and re-knit something that she has knit for such a long time, especially sleeves for an adult guy, that's a long commitment. And if she can knit it twice, why can't I frog a project that's not very much to my liking, so I can use the yarn for some other project. So I did, and although it was sad, of course, to see the project unraveling in front of my eyes, it's in some sense also liberating, because now the yarn I can use for another project. The problem with this beret is because it's too big. It's really, really, really way too big. It's like I'm wearing a deflated balloon on my head. I love the yarn. It's the Universal Yarn Bamboo Pop. It's 50% cotton and 50% bamboo. So I will re-knit this into Loch. It's also another hat pattern by Tin Can Knits. I really like the Rose Window Beret pattern, but since I've just knitted once, because I'm a process knitter, I really don't want to repeat the same pattern twice unless I really, really, really love it, which is the case for my third project, which I will tell you in a few minutes. By the way, when I was frogging, the knitting bit me in the back, by way of my own fault, to be honest, because I picked the wrong edge. I somehow thought that this hat was worked bottom up, so I picked off the stitches from the hat crown. And then I was wondering, after 15 minutes of fiddling with the stitches and basically thinking one by one, what was so wrong about this? Usually if I take off the bind off edge, it was just unravel. And then I realized that actually no, the cast off edge is the brim, not the crown. So I was actually picking the cast on edge, and that's why I was getting nowhere. If you ever heard a knitter say that it's impossible to pick off from the cast on edge, please heed their advice. It's sound advice. It's quite impossible. If I want to unravel the whole project from the cast on edge, I think I would spend quite a few days, maybe longer than the time it took me to knit the whole project. So it even took me to hacking the yarn in a few places to try and see if it would work better. And no, of course not. It's impossible to pick off from the cast on edge. So I moved off to the brim and picked off the bound off edge, the right edge this time, and it all went smoothly. I post the unraveling picture on Instagram, and it is actually quite pretty because the lace pattern, it makes a star-shaped thingy, so it looks kind of like a doily. I might do the pattern again next time with a different yarn. So that's it. The yarn is now wound off. I hand wound the yarn into a ball, and I'm thinking of knitting it into Loch next time. I'm hoping to have enough yarn to make the matching mittens as well. And the third project that I finished, actually third and fourth, I knit the same pattern twice this time, and it's the Stella Pixie hat. This is actually my second and third project using this pattern. I first knit this hat. This is intended for babies, and it creates a pixie style hat with a pointy top. I first knit this for my newborn niece last year, who was born on September last year. And I love knitting it so much. It's very simple. Basically, it's a combination of garter ridges and ribbing section. And it creates the unique shape. But it's very simple. It's only knit and purl. And I don't even need to look at the pattern after a few while. I love the end product so much that I decided to knit it for my baby, who was born on 6th January this year. And I made that one, and then my older son, Timothy, who is 4-year-old, he also wants one. The hat that he uses when we travel to a colder place is the Aviatrix hat, and that is getting too small for his head. The last time he wore it was last year, and it's been too snug. It wouldn't cover his ear. So I decided to knit him another Stella Pixie hat. And the project title on my project page is Giant Pies Pixie Hat. And the history behind the name is Timothy, he called himself Giant Pie, and he calls my niece Alicia Little Pie, and his own little brother Andrew Mini Pie. So giant pie, little pie, and mini pie. And why the pie? Because I've been calling Andrew sweetie pie, cutie pie, and he picked up the pie thing and he made it into giant pie, little pie, and mini pie. So I have one giant pie pixie hat, which is for Timothy, and one mini pie pixie hat, which is for Andrew. It matches because I'm using the same yarn for both their hats. It's the Lanartus sock yarn. It's hand-painted in Peru, but the brand is a Swiss brand. I really love the yarn and love the color progression. I have some leftover yarn, 36 grams or 166 yards, and I'm thinking of knitting either a pair of mitts or a pair of socks for Timothy. I have knit several pairs of socks for Timo, and he outgrew it pretty fast. He outgrew them pretty fast, so I was thinking I would knit him a pair of tube socks this time. And I found the perfect pattern for it. It's by Jane Richmond, and it's called Simple Tube Socks, I think. She knit this in looser gauge than is usual for socks to accommodate the lengthening and the heel. So I would knit that if Timo prefers to have socks. And that's it for my off the needles. Let's go on the needles. I haven't bitten by the knitting bug again. My mojo came back with a vengeance after I gave birth. So I have a few projects on the needles. And the first one is Hitofude. And I'm really enjoying knitting this. If you haven't seen Hitofude yet, it's very ubiquitous in Ravelry. I think there are thousands of projects, and it's very reasonably priced because the designer herself, Hiroko Fukatsu, she said that since she cannot answer to queries in English, she made her patterns available with a very, very discounted price. I think it was 200 Japanese yen, which is about $2 plus a little bit. And Hitofude means single brush stroke in Japanese, and it's all made seamless in no seaming required, although it does require picking up of stitches and provisional cast on, but that is in the beginning and it's easily done. So very, very clever construction, and I've been enjoying knitting this a lot. The lace pattern is very easily memorizable. I'm not sure if I will have enough yarn for it to be long enough to cover my hips, so I think I will do the increases for the front band a bit slower than is written as the pattern. And the second one I'm knitting is the Snapdragon flip-top mitts. This is the third project for Loopy Academy, which I didn't finish in time. And this is a pattern by Isolde Teague. I've had this pattern for quite some time too. Hashtag library along. And it has been languishing because I stopped at the fiddly part. I've made the mitts itself, the fingerless mitts, and then when I have to pick up the stitches to knit the flip top, I stopped because this is something that I haven't done before, and I had to concentrate and really read the pattern and think about what I'm doing, so it's not autopilot knitting, and that's why it was languishing. Because before and after I gave birth, I didn't have enough brain cells to process that. I finally started back last week, and I felt very clever when I did the picking up. It looks seamless, although I didn't pick up the stitches in a straight line. I kind of increased one row, and I saw that after I picked all the stitches, and I didn't really want to go back and re-knit them. But it looks invisible enough. And unless you squint, and then you can see that it's the wrong row. But to think about it, who would squint at my mitten hand? I would probably slap you if you do that. The yarn that I'm using is Cascade 220 Superwash, and I'm using ultra small needles, considering that the yarn is a worsted weight. I'm using size US2 or 2.75mm for the ribbed cuff, and US size 4, 3.5mm for the hand part. I mean, for a worsted weight yarn, that is really small needles because I have very loose gauge. And I recognize that Isolde knit quite tightly, I mean compared to me, because I've knit her pattern before. So I decided to drop down quite a few needle sizes, and it's still a bit too big for my hands because I have tiny hands as well. But I think it's okay, and it's really pretty. After I passed the picking up of stitches for the flip top, because it's a new technique and I'm feeling very clever about it, it went by very fast. I bound off the first mitt and I'm going to do the second one soon. These are both old projects. I haven't knit any new project since December, except for the Giant Pie Pixie hat, because I couldn't find a flat surface in which I can clamp my ball winder and yarn swift in my parents' house. Interestingly enough, the tables here are either too thick because they're wooden tables, or they have a curved edge because they're glass table. Not curved, but tapered edges. So those edges I can't clamp my yarn winder or umbrella swift to. I have quite a few skeined yarn which I can't knit from unless I wind it into a ball first. So that's why I chose to do the Giant Pies Pixie hat, because the yarn, the Leonardo sock yarn, came in a ball. Yes, it comes pre-winded, so I don't have to wind it into a ball. So that's it for my On the Needles. I have been rejoining the Harry Potter Knit and Crochet House Cup group in Ravelry and trying to challenge myself to knit interesting projects for the House Cup. If you're not familiar with it, you should check out the group on Ravelry. It's basically a knitting game in which you have to submit at least one project for the classes, the Harry Potter themed classes in the group. And you would get points for your associated house. I'm playing as an NQFY, not quite first year because I haven't been sorted into a house yet. Hoping to get sorted the next term, which starts in May. And in the meantime, I'm playing, and the group there is very chatty and the people are very nice. You should check out the group even if you decide not to participate. So you will see a lot of On the Needles project, hopefully, in the next episode. For now, I have a new segment for you, which is Knit Culture, in which I talk about anything retaining to knitting that doesn't really fit into the other segments. I got a tip from A Playful Day, owns the A Playful Day podcast, and she has RSI, so she mentions that she needs to stay conscious of keeping her hands down and have the knitting project not too close to the eyes. It helped her with her RSI. I personally have scoliosis, which is curved spine, and I have a slant when standing, so my right shoulder is higher than my left shoulder, and especially if I wear a t-shirt, the t-shirt would skew to my left when I'm standing or when I'm walking, and I have to be consciously putting my right shoulder down so that I have a better posture. Yoga has helped me be more aware of my posture, because yoga poses require the shoulders to be put down and back, relaxed, but down and back, and on the same plane on each other. So that has really helped me. And when knitting, I unconsciously put my shoulders up, hunched up, so I had to consciously put it down. And that helps me knit better, have a better posture ergonomically. So if you have the same problem, maybe if you have RSI or scoliosis like I do, do try to be more conscious about your posture when knitting. I think it would really help in the long term if you want to knit until your old age. Another thing that Ravelry has featured in the recent time, it has a project page, of course, you know that. And if you organize your project into sets that you can access from the tabs on top of the page, you have to set the projects to be organized into sets by using tags. Then if you access that tab set from your project page, it would note how many meters or yards are used in the project in the set. If you note the number of skins you used in the projects, of course. So say I've been organizing all the projects that I knit in 2014. And if I go to the 2014 tab on top of my project page, at the bottom of the page, it would say how many yards I've knit in 2014 based on the yardage that I note on the project itself. I hope I'm making myself clear. If not, I would put a screenshot of my tabbed project page in the show notes so you can see what it looks like. So I used to mention, I mentioned Knit Meter in the podcast before. It's knitmeter.com, I think. And it's a little website that helps you calculate how many yardage you knit in a certain period of time. Now I don't need to use that anymore because Ravelry does it automatically. That's quite a handy little feature that I like from Ravelry. And kudos to Casey and the Ravelry team for making Ravelry better and better every day. I mean, they're not just satisfied with having 4 million members on Ravelry, but they keep improving the site, making it more accessible not just for knitters and crocheters, but for spinners as well. And I think this is the best, Ravelry is the best social forum or social media that I've ever used before. Not just because knitters are generally awesome and friendly people, but also because of the functionality and the user-friendliness of the site itself. So thank you, Casey, and the Ravelry team for making Ravelry the way it is for all of us. Also found out from Ravelry is the Tin Can Knits Buy One Get One sale. I have been admiring Tin Can Knits designs for some time. I knit one of their design, which is... it escapes me right now. Oh, the Low Tide cardigan. I knit it, I think, 2 years ago. And it's very well written. I found out about the sale from Ravelry, I think, a Ravelry forum somewhere. And it expired last week, March 18. So I'm sorry if you didn't get the best of the sale. Because I was actually planning to put up this podcast in the early March, but... what do you know? Real life caught on to me. So I bought two of their ebooks. The Buy One Get One sale is not only for their single patterns, but also for their ebooks. So I bought two ebooks. One is the Road Trip, and the other is the Handmade in the UK. And it's such a great deal. I paid $18 for a total of 24 patterns, and that amounts to 75 cents for each pattern. How great a deal is that? So if you haven't checked out Tin Can Knits or you don't know about them, they're a pair of two designers, Emily Wessel and Alexa Ludeman. Emily lives in Scotland and Alexa in Canada, and they are a team of designers who put up, they are very prolific, and they also have a collection of free patterns for new knitters to learn the ropes of knitting. I think it's called the Simple Collection. So if you're a newer knitter, you should check that out. As you know, after giving birth, I have a lot of time at home recuperating, and I've been spending time browsing patterns and yarns or pairing together patterns and yarn from my stash. I'm quite a collector, not only of yarn, but also of patterns, which is why I started the library along last year to help me use the most of my purchased patterns and not buy any more patterns. But essentially, I'm a collector because I'm a dreamer. I like looking at a pattern, and when looking at a pattern, I envision knitting it. I dream about how I would choose the yarn and color and knit the project and then wear it proudly. The probability of me actually finishing the set pattern with a paired yarn is actually very, very close to zero, because as I said, I like to browse. So I find another pairing, and then the first pairing of pattern and yarn goes to zero. But I like to dream of the infinite possibilities and of the ideal knitting with hours and hours in the day to knit without distractions, without other obligations. And I like the me in that particular image, knitting away, creating beautiful items for myself, my family, and friends. I've stopped trying not to buy patterns, especially if they're on sale, because I am paying the price not only for the pattern itself, but for the future of possibilities that it offers. So if you are like me and you're a collector, then don't blame yourself for buying patterns and yarns, because I know you are a dreamer like me and you believe in the infinite possibilities of each yarn and each pattern that you buy. So yeah, but speaking of that, I am trying to stash down both in terms of yarn and pattern, and that's why I have created the library along, which is still going on in 2015 and which I will talk about later. Actually now, because I will talk about the upcoming knit alongs in the group. First, there is the Sweater All Stars, which already has its own thread in the Ravelry forum of the Lost Geek podcast. Anybody who's knitting a sweater pattern, whether for a kid, for an adult, for the teenagers, or for your pets, you're welcome to post your projects there and chat around and ask for help or just chatter around. I will have a sweater pattern prize for Ravelry posters and maybe random prize for Instagram posters. So don't forget to use the hashtag SASCAL for the projects if you post it in Instagram. So don't forget the hashtag SASCAL, S-A-S for Sweater All Stars, CAL, S-A-S-K-A-L. And we have a few finishes already, and one of them is Twinset Ellen, who knit, I think the pattern is the February baby sweater, and I love the yarn that she used. She has a lot of babies to knit for this year, as she mentioned on her podcast, the Twinset Designs podcast, and this sweater is one of the first cute baby projects that she knit. So you should check out the thread, and if you're a sweater knitter, do chime in for a chance to win a pattern of your choice from Ravelry. And the other call that is going for this year is the Library Along, or the LAL, L-A-L. And the concept is for you to knit your purchased patterns on your library so it doesn't languish, and to prevent you from getting distracted by newer patterns, newer, shinier patterns that you found out there. So the Library Along will go annually. I don't think I can do a quarterly LAL again like last year, like what I did last year. So this will go until the end of 2015. And again, please use the hashtag LAL, L-A-L 2015, so LAL 2015 in social media. I might just pick random prizes. Get your geek on. For Ravelry users, there are quite a few apps available on Android platform and also on iOS platform that corresponds to the Ravelry, and there are a lot of different functions that they do. Some like the Skein app that I reviewed here quite a few episodes ago is to help you buy enhance your stash by matching projects and yarn and also looking for yarn shops. Last year, I supported the Kickstarter funding campaign for Wooly 2.0, which is an app that was going to be made native for iOS, both for iPad and iPhone. And the introduction seems great, and there are a lot of people using it, so I supported them via Kickstarter and finally received the final version of the app I think almost a year after the funding started, which was quite a long time. And to be honest, I was not very satisfied with the app itself. Not only because it doesn't allow me to post on forums or check on the forum posts, it's also not very intuitive in terms of editing stash and project notes. It didn't used to have a lot of different interactivity that Ravelry provides. And then I was listening to Subway Knits, Maria from Subway Knits podcast reviewing the Stash to Go app on iOS, and I tried downloading the light version, which was free, and it's very complete. It's like the offline, the simplified version of Ravelry, and we can post on forums, we can add photos to Stash and projects, we can edit the project notes, we can even download the pattern if it's free for offline usage. And it also features row by row counter, so if you are following a complicated pattern, you can use Stash to Go for following the pattern. After using the light version for some time, then I decided to buy the full version, because the light version, it only allows you to see three entries, either in yarn or pattern or forums, and it doesn't allow you to see the other entries. So I purchased the full version and I have been very, very satisfied. It's very reasonably priced. I think it was $5 on iTunes Store. It's also available on the Android platform, and they give and they do update a lot of the software. So there are a lot of functionalities and settings that you can tweak to your personal tastes. It's quite an extensive app, meaning that you need to explore it to fully use it to its maximum advantage. And there are a lot of features in it that I haven't even started to touch yet, which one of them is the row counter, because the projects that I am currently knitting on is not very complicated, so I didn't need to use it. But I will try it on, I will try that feature, and I will talk about it in the future episode. So if you're like me and you have your tablet or your smartphone everywhere you go, and sometimes even where internet is not available, then this app is the one for you. It's really good and you should check it out. Another feature of the app that I like is that it has a different format for iPhone and for iPad. So in the iPad, it's much easier to look at, but on the iPhone, it's also easy because the format is different and it's adapted to the smaller screen. So do check it out if you're interested, and I am doing this review on Solicited by either Woolly or Stash2Go. Another geeky feature that I want to talk about is Bristol Ivy's stockinette market analysis. So Bristol Ivy is a prominent knit designer, and she works for Brooklyn Tweed, but she recently posted on her blog that she is going to resign from Brooklyn Tweed team and pursue her career somewhere else. And that was a real loss for Brooklyn Tweed, but all the best for Bristol Ivy for her future career. And there is a recent interview of her by the A Playful Day podcast, in which she talks more extensively about her stockinette market analysis, which you can find on her blog, the blackbirdturning.blogspot.com. I've mentioned this a long time ago, maybe the first time I started the podcast, and it's a very interesting statistical analysis of the Ravelry Hot Right Now feature. So each week, I think, or bi-weekly, Bristol would put up a statistical analysis of the Ravelry Hot Right Now projects during that time span, and she would log into Ravelry twice a day to take her data and make the statistical analysis accordingly. So if you're interested and very statistically minded, it's interesting, and it features like different color trends, pattern trends, and you can see a peak in a certain pattern featured on Hot Right Now if the pattern is recently published or the designer has a promotion. So do check it out. I will put up a link to the blog in the show notes, and also a link to the podcast episode interview of Bristol by A Playful Day podcast. And now, essential oils. This is also a pretty new segment in which I will share my experience and my journey in discovering about essential oils and its uses. Since I last talked to you, I tried a lot of essential oils. Actually, I bought quite a lot, and a lot of reference materials as well. I think I have read cover to cover at least 7 different reference books. This is this journey started from me really wanting to make my son's asthma better, because he has been responding well to medications, but ideally I would really like to wean him off inhalers and nebulizer therapy. So I'm happy to report that so far my attempts have been very successful, and I am now launching my own essential oil-based homemade natural products, which include lotion bar, lip balms, wrinkle serum, eczema serum, breathe balm for those sniffles, also bug sprays, oil of face cleanser, oil-based face cleanser, and Dreamland Ticket, which is a sleep spray, sleep linen spray. And those products are part of my full month goodie bag when I gave birth. And in hindsight, it was a good idea, because then I got inputs and advice from people who received them. And so I can improve either both my packaging, my branding, and my products better. I'm glad to know that a lot of people do like the products and it worked for them, but they gave me really good inputs about the packaging, because some of the lip balms, they wouldn't rotate, and some of the wrinkle serums label, it came off because it's very oily, so I would have to improve on that. Oh, and I'm quite sure that you wouldn't be familiar with Full Month Goodie Bag. It's a Chinese tradition of giving out goodie bags when you just delivered a baby and the baby reached the 1 month birthday. Birthday of the baby. So I will talk about that in the next segment. Tadaima! As I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, I gave birth to my second son, Andrew, and he was born on the 6th of January 2015. I would like to say thank you to everybody who wished me good delivery and congratulations on Ravelry on Instagram, Facebook, and other online channels. Also, big thanks to the moderator of my group, Stacy and staff. They organized a baby gift for me, and they actually sent two parcels, and I am so sad that to report that one parcel is still missing until now. I'm still holding out hope that it will still arrive, but fingers crossed, all my fingers crossed, Indonesian Post is not that reliable. I'm still hoping though. So aside from Stacy and Steph, big thank you to Kara Trike, Fina Essie, and Nitlin, and all the other missent package senders that I have not gotten to know yet. And also thank you to Lisa Turbogal, who also sent me a separate package for which include goodies not only for the baby, not only for Andrew and me, but also for Timothy, which was very thoughtful. I got an idea from a church friend to buy tiny gifts for Timothy, in part to ease him into being a big brother, so that he won't get jealous from all the presents that his baby brother got when he was born. So we prepared in advance some little presents for him also, and I would ask family and friends when they come to see me to visit me and brought presents to give the little presents that I already wrapped for Timothy as congratulations for being a big brother. But I think that aside, Timothy has been filling up into his new role as a big brother very awesomely, and he's been really great. He's been very helpful. He wasn't cranky, and although it really took me some time to adjust my daily routine to having two kids and dividing my time for Timothy and for Andrew and wrangling with nursing schedule, sleeping arrangements, sending Timothy to school, feeding time, and all those. Finally, after 2 months, I'm glad to report that I think I got some semblance of order back to my daily routine. And that's why I have this podcast episode out to you today. There are quite a few postpartum traditions that you might not know about, and I am going the traditional Chinese traditions. In the Chinese tradition, there is a month-long confinement period right after you give birth. Well, traditionally, it's 40 days, but a lot of people now only do it for 30 days, in which you really need to keep your body heaty. So you need to eat warm stuff and heaty stuff like ginger. And you cannot, actually, traditionally, you cannot wash your hair during the whole month period. But no, I didn't do that. Don't worry. I only managed to hold out for 10 days before I couldn't take it anymore and I had to wash my hair. And there are people called confinement aunties or confinement nannies here who are generally older aunties who would help you cook and let you know about what traditions you need to do to stay healthy. So this month-long confinement is ideally to help get your body back into the shape it was before the pregnancy and the delivery, because it's bruised and battered from the 9 months of baby growing inside you, and then suddenly you had to deliver it and all the muscles and the ligaments being stretched out of place. So this month-long period is to get you back into shape. And if you ignore the rules of the 30 days confinement period, you would get a lot of body aches or headaches afterwards. And believe it or not, the Chinese believe in the hot and cold system of the body. So I guess it's related to the yin and yang system. Some food are thought to be heaty, as I mentioned, and some food are thought to be cold. So during the confinement period, I cannot eat any cold stuff because the body itself after delivery is thought to be cold. So we need to drink and eat a lot of warm stuff to warm it up. And believe it or not, during the month-long period, even though I ate all heaty stuff, ginseng, the water of longan, dried longans, and all very warm, heaty stuff, which usually would make me have mouth ulcers or cold sores. For the month-long period, I was totally fine, and I was as healthy as an ox. After that month period is over, I can eat whatever I want. After the 30 days is up, then the baby is considered manyue, or full month. And traditionally, we send out packages to friends and families who visited the mom and the baby as a thank you and to be grateful, I guess, for that the baby has reached 1 month. I think this tradition was because back in the ancient times, the mortality rate for infants are very high. So people whose babies managed to reach 1 month has a lot of reasons to celebrate. Traditionally, you would send out a whole chicken, roasted, of course, and two eggs, which symbolizes fertility, I would say, I would guess. But recently, people just send out cookies or dry goods like towels and mugs for the families and relatives. And even more recently, the trend has shifted to sending the gifts not after the month period is over, but during whatever visit, we already prepared the packages to give out to the friends and families who visit. So when they visit, we give them the package. So when they visit, we give them the package regardless that the baby is not 1 month yet. So as I mentioned before, part of my package is the essential oils product that I made. And they are packaged in a bag organizer, in a small bag organizer with a little card mentioning thank you and the name of Andrew, also the proud parents, and another card specifying the ingredients and instructions for use of the essential oil products. So I'm really hoping that it would introduce essential oil products to a lot of other people and the benefits of natural, not just cosmetics, but health products. I have received feedback from people who use the breathe balm, which helps you breathe during a cold or a flu. So you can rub it on your chest and on your nose. And it's made out of beeswax and coconut oil and essential oils. And I have got reports from my friends who used it on their kids. It's safe for children 2 years and above. And they would like to buy more. I was thinking that I might want to launch the product online, but I'm not sure which channel I should use, whether Facebook or Etsy or Instagram. So if you have an opinion and if you would like to be notified of the products, do let me know. And that package is part of the reason why I have been very busy and out of touch with my knitting and spinning hobbies for the past 2 and 3 months. I've been busy making them, I've been busy packaging them and sending them out. And also another reason is the confinement period where I cannot really do anything rigorous. And during the confinement period, I called you could say it's a massage therapist. We call such a person Ibu Bengkung. So usually it's a woman who would massage the tummy and the back area so the skin would stretch back into shape, and she would then tie up my abdomen in a, I guess, 20-yard long fabric. So it's sort of like a, I think in America there's a product called Belly Bandit, like a corset, but it's really, really tight. And so it would shrink your tummy back to your to its pre-pregnancy shape faster. And I'm happy to say that it really worked. There's also another tradition after the month period is ended to shave off all the hair of the baby, because it's believed to be to bring luck, I would think, to bring luck. And for the Muslims, they also shave off all the hair of the baby, but then they would weigh the total weight of the hair and buy the equivalent amount in gold to be donated to the needy people. And this tradition is called akikah. So that's the long and short of it. I think you would find it interesting in both the newness of it and maybe the strangeness of it. So I have been blabbering on for a long time now. I think this is one of the longest episodes I've ever recorded. So for now, I will leave you, and hopefully next week I can record the next episode. You can find me on Ravelry as The Lost Geek, on Twitter as Lost_Geek, although recently I have not been as active on Twitter. I'm more active on Instagram, where I'm known as The Lost Geek. Do join the Lost Geek podcast group on Ravelry if you haven't already. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes or through the RSS feed by entering thelostgeek.libsyn.com/RSS. iTunes star ratings and reviews are always, always very welcome to help bump up the show and let other people know about it. If you have been enjoying, please do leave me a good review. And if you have some feedback, do leave the advice and feedback there too. Thank you for listening, and until next time, don't get too lost. Bye. Well, hello, here comes a day. Should I rise up from these sheets of lace? Let the sun upon my face. Far too long I slept in solitude, with these walls as cold as ice. If I awake, will it be worth it all to feel the sun upon my face? I'm coming home to where you are, to the arms that held me long. I'm coming.
come back to me. I'm coming.